Good morning and welcome. Last week at this press conference, we announced the creation of the Iowa Partnership for Economic Progress Board. The Lieutenant Governor and I felt strongly that it was essential to have an umbrella organization that would set strategic direction for our public-private model that was passed in the last legislative session, and which that is why I signed Executive Order 75 last week. Today, we're taking another important step forward in our goal, our ambitious goal of 200,000 new jobs and raising family incomes by 25% over the next 5 years by engaging the very people who are key to creating jobs in our state. This board, as you can see by the faces behind me, is no ordinary group. In fact, not only have we appointed some of Iowa's finest minds and top-tier business leaders, but we've also managed to assemble many of them here in one room today, and I'm very appreciative. They're all people with very busy schedules, members of the Iowa Partnership for Economic, the Iowa Partnership for Economic Progress Board include Bill Furman, President and CEO of Mid-America Energy Company, Paul Schickler, the third President of Pioneer Hybrid, a DuPont business, Larry Zimpelman, CEO and Principal Financial Group, Toby Schein, President of Schein Brothers Corporation, Marion Drenga, President and CEO of Vermeer Corporation, Marty Rademacher, a banker from First Citizens National Bank in Mason City, Ken Lockhart, Chairman of Lockhart Companies, Tom Aller, President of Interstate Power and Light and Alliant Energy, Roger Underwood, co-founder of Becker Underwood, John Smith, Chairman of the Board of CRST Incorporated, Clay Jones, Chairman and President and CEO of Rockwell Collins. Very impressive group, and we're very appreciative of their willingness to serve in this capacity. This group, along with the Lieutenant Governor and I, who will co-chair, will put together a comprehensive economic development strategy for the state of Iowa. We continue to make strides in creating the innovative intermediary, which is the private side of the equation, by today also appointing members of the Iowa Innovation Corporation Board as well. The appointments to the Iowa Innovation Corporation are Robert Riley, Jr., President and CEO of Feed Energy Company, Robert Hemkin from DuPont, Kier Hayden, Wells Fargo Home Mortgage, Sarah Haskin, Vice President, Corporate Secretary of A.Y. McDonald Manufacturing Company, Jamie Zanios, Vice President, North Iowa Area Community College, Scott Norville, President and CEO of Master Builders of Iowa, and Chris Nelson, President and CEO of Kimmon Industries. As a nonprofit corporation, the Iowa Innovation Corporation is designed to help grow an innovative economy in Iowa. Through a combination of state, federal, and private sector funds, the corporation and its board will work to help spur the creation of new technologies and will ultimately lead to jobs here in Iowa. I'm very grateful for all of these people who are really lending their knowledge and expertise to help serve on these boards. So this is a new day for economic development in Iowa. I think it shows that we are bringing together the best of the private sector, and I'm also very proud that we've got a dynamic leader for the public sector as well. And at this time, I'm pleased to lead the director to introduce the director of our Economic Development Authority, Debbie Durham. Debbie?
Thank you, Governor. It is a great day for us. As the governor has stated, we really feel like IPEP Board is the entity that will bring strategic focus to our private-public structure. The purpose of this group, is just as a reminder, is to really move our organization to more of a proactive organization. This group of CEOs that represent the targeted industry sectors of Iowa will be the ones to tell us about emerging markets and competitive forces in a world global economy so that we can be ahead of it. If you think about it, you know, during Governor Branstad's first term, we created the culture in which insurance companies have been able to thrive from a regulatory point of view. So the question that was before us today is, are we as competitive as we need to be at this platform? The same thing could be said for advanced manufacturing. When Governor Branstad got rid of the machinery and equipment tax. Again, are we as competitive as we need to be going forward? And the other thing that we're always going to have is someone on this board from the transportation industry. And you may ask why that is. Well, the reason is because the truckers and the railroads will always be the first indicator of how a market's going to turn. So we're very excited about that. In the same time, we're creating the Innovation Corporation. And today, by the naming of the board, a is the final part of our structural changes in place. And the corporation will basically be the operating arm of the Iowa Innovation Council that will continue to operate under our structure. And I'm very pleased to know that we have Chris and we have Bob and we have Peter that are kind of carrying over from that group so we don't miss a beat as we move forward. So all I can say is it is a great day and we are ready to get to work.
Okay, we would open it for your questions, and you've got some pretty talented people here to help us do those, to answer those questions for you.
Is there anyone that you can speak to what Ms. Durham just spoke to, that might be an emerging industry already that you see that Iowa should be trying to attract, or can you already suggest changes or companies she should go after?
Well, did you all come to prepare to speak?
Well, we say, you know, we've already talked about insurance and financial services, obviously, is one. Another area, the whole biosciences area, big opportunities going on there. Already a lot of exciting things have happened with renewable energy, but we also see with the human genome opportunities for both human and animal-related new products that are being made, whether they're vaccines or replacing petroleum-based products with bio-based products. And Iowa's a real natural for that. And many companies already, in fact, we've had some pretty significant announcements here just recently. CJ, of course, was announced last week, which is a Korean company, but in the biosciences area, joining Cargill and Fort Dodge. We have Valent, which is actually it's a Japanese-owned company, but they're investing $130 million in Osage. And there's many more opportunities like that that we see on the horizon.
And, of course, the work you did in China with the insurance companies.
Right.
And that's a direct tie.
And we see there's tremendous already. And, Mary, maybe, Larry, you could mention what you've already done in Brazil and the potential you see in other international markets for the insurance and financial services area.
Sure.
You want to come up here?
Well, not really.
He's so glad he showed up.
Yeah. So again, would only emphasize, I think as the governor and Debbie have already said, you know, we do have a great regulatory environment here, and, you know, we are seeing the growth of financial services around the world. If you know, it's interesting, today, as many of you know, is the day that the seven billionth person was born on the planet. We have an exploding middle-income class all over the world who are going to want the same sort of financial products and services, frankly, the same consumer products and services that all of us here in the United States have grown up with. So there is a big opportunity for Iowa companies in markets like Brazil and China and India and Southeast Asia. And we've been somewhat focused on this now for a little over a decade, and it does bring jobs to Iowa. It brings very good jobs to Iowa. We need very smart people. And so we've been very appreciative of the efforts of the governor and Debbie Durham to help us advance our businesses in markets like specifically Brazil and China. So we look forward to the partnership. We look forward to furthering that effort in the years ahead. So.
Well, Boeing has already chosen South Carolina, for you to know. But and we support that. We think it would be a terrible mistake for a federal agency to force them to close down that plant in a right-to-work state. We think Iowa has some of the same advantages that South Carolina has when you look to new places to locate. And in fact, I thought it was kind of interesting that Whirlpool, which is closing down plants all over the world, chose to actually add 160 jobs in Amana. That was just announced last week, and I think that's a very positive thing for Iowa. But it's a very competitive worldwide situation, and we're trying to position ourselves as effectively as possible, having the benefit of the business experience we have assembled in this room today to work with us. We are the first to recognize that it's the private sector that's going to create these jobs, that's going to grow the Iowa economy. We need to make sure that state government is not in the way, that we eliminate some of the regulatory barriers, tax barriers that may be a problem. And we're going to work very hard to do that, and we're going to work with the private sector to make sure we have a good strategy and that we're focusing on those areas where we have the greatest advantage or opportunity here in Iowa. And that's why, you know, the Healthy Estate Initiative and the Education Initiative all kind of dovetail with this goal of creating good quality, good paying jobs in the state.
How are you going to handle proprietary
issues? Carefully. I don't know that there's an easy answer to that. I mean, we're going to follow the law, and we're going to avoid getting into any conflicts of interest. But when you have proprietary interests, each company is going to obviously look out to protect their own proprietary interests. We want to make sure that's done. And, you know, when you go into other Asian markets like China, obviously that's a big issue there as well. And we want to make sure that our company's interests are protected. But we don't shy away from looking for opportunities just because there may be some issues that we have to work our way through.
How will you gauge if this is successful?
Well, you know, I've already spelled out the very ambitious goal of 200,000 jobs and raising family incomes by 25% over the next 5 years. And it's taken a while to get this all put together, but we've gone about it in a very thoughtful and systematic way. We had to get the support of the legislature to create this new public-private partnership, and then create the various boards that each have an important role to play. We have a public, and we work very hard to work through this to make sure we had transparency, but also to make sure that we were able to have the benefit of the expertise and knowledge of private sector business people and entrepreneurs. And I think we have kind of the best of both worlds, having both the transparency and the openness that's required in government, but also having the knowledge and the expertise of the private sector to advise and assist us as we work to put together a strategy that's going to be effective. And we intend to work at this day in and day out. With Debbie, we've got a very energetic leader for our Economic Development Authority. The Lieutenant Governor and I are very engaged. The reason why she's not here today is the STEM Council is meeting, and that's also an important part of this, the focus on those issues. The STEM issues is critical to our success in this as well. Right.
Have you considered involving workers or unions in this effort at this board as well?
We do have.
Dan White serves.
Dan White, who's with the UAW in Dubuque, is a part of the board.
Mm-hmm. And we work very closely with the trade unions also. But, yes. Mm-hmm. No.
Not this board, but on the authority board. So there's three boards. The other board was announced, a couple months?
Yeah, they had their first meeting, yes.
They've already had their first meeting. They've already approved some important projects. CJ was one of the first projects they approved, by the way. And also, the other thing that happened at the national level that we're very appreciative is the free trade agreement's approval. Mm-hmm. And that's going to be beneficial as well. We've been working for that. I, you know, made an issue about that in the campaign. And we've been working through that since we took office, and obviously that was an issue was discussed when we were in Korea as well.
What exactly do you expect all of these folks to be telling you? How is it going to work?
Well, I'm not telling them what they should be telling me. I respect their independence and their knowledge and expertise. I really want them to use the benefit of their business experience to give us the best advice and strategy we can have as a state, and look at ways that we can partner with them, with their own individual businesses and with the private sector here in Iowa. And we've already identified some targeted areas, but also if they see something else emerging, I want to know. I also want to know if they see some obstacles or barriers that we need to work to try to eliminate or reduce.
And the other thing is even helping with our marketing strategy.
come over to this.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. I mean, the other important thing is help with our marketing strategies. I'm, for instance, I experienced the World Food Prize for the first time this year. And what an incredible opportunity that is for our state, beyond what happens here once a year. We need to be taking that and propelling that forward as a marketing strategy, because when it comes to the conversation around how are we going to feed the world, we're at the center of that conversation. And so that's why you have folks on here like Pioneer, because they obviously, they understand that. So this is the things that they're going to be doing. I'll be bringing to him to say, okay, how do we utilize the World Food Platform as a marketing strategy to the world? How do we begin to fine-tune that? At the same time, they have great marketing departments. So what they're saying is that they're coming to the table to help open up resources to us beyond just the supply chain, which is obviously an important recruitment tool for us. And you saw that with Cargill, because that's why we have CJ, because we did the supply chain development. But so their role is to sit there to say, here's things you need to be working on. Here's things how we can help you within those marketplaces, because we already have outlets. It's really leveraging the private sector into fulfilling the governor's and lieutenant governor's goals of job creation and wealth creation for this state, and doing it much more strategically than we've ever done before.
Other questions? Yes. Or go ahead.
No, absolutely not. There's clearly a defined role, but as you know, the Department of the Economic Development Authority, I'm like the chief salesperson for the state. Our role is to market and brand Iowa in a national, international marketplace. What I'm saying is they have resources because they're already in many of those markets they're reaching out to. I mean, we already talked about China, India, Brazil, urbanizing, creating a middle class, which I believe will create more of a narrative for our manufacturing going forward. And so they're already there. So they can help us be strategic about how we get messaging out in those things. We'll still do that under our contract and still supported by the state, but it's just having that high-level intel, if you will, and doing it, again, in a strategic way to move Iowa forward.
Well, we have a new strategic plan to better and more effectively deliver those services. And Teresa Whaler, when she took office and when she took charge of that Workforce Development Department, came up with a strategic plan to have many more points of access and not just have a few Main Street locations that are open only just during working hours. So now we're going to have access on Saturdays and evenings. We're partnering with the National Guard. We're partnering with the libraries. We're partnering with the community colleges and private colleges and state universities. And the whole idea is to have a much more effective way of doing it. We recognize the federal resources are being reduced. The state has a limited amount of resources. But yet at the same time, we want to do all we can to make sure people know there are job opportunities available and where they are available, and I think that Teresa has done a great job with that. In fact, we highlighted at the retreat some of the changes that are taking place in the various departments and state agencies to try to be a much more service-oriented approach. We think that's critically important. We're public servants. We have an obligation and responsibility to try to provide those services in the most economical way, but also in the most accessible way to the people that need them.